John's Gospel, chapter 6, and I'm going to read a few verses from verse 60, and the heading I notice in the Church Bible is Many Disciples Desert Jesus. That's an encouraging heading, isn't it, at the beginning of a new year. Many disciples desert Jesus. But just the context leading up to this particular, these words of Jesus, is that there have been thousands of people following the Lord Jesus. And we know that because just a little while earlier, Jesus has fed, miraculously, it seems, has fed a crowd that consisted of 5,000 men. And I don't know why, but they apparently didn't count the women and the children. So there were many, many more people than 5,000 who were fed miraculously. And the crowd began to follow Jesus. They thought, well, here's a free meal ticket. We're going to get fed. Here's the one who's going to look after us and care for us. And Jesus, realizing that these people didn't really understand who he was or what it meant to follow him, challenged them. And there we get this heading, Many Disciples Desert Jesus. Verse 60 of John 6. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Let's pray. Father, we pray that in these next few moments, as we reflect upon your word, you would reveal to us Jesus, the living word of God. Amen. So today we're going to consider some very simple questions, but key questions. The first one is who we are. The second question is who do we follow? And the third question is, how do we live? And these can come in simple ways, in these simple headings, identity, theology, and the third one is action. Identity is about who are we? Who are we? Evesham Baptist Church, who are we? What is our identity? Our theology, what do we believe? It's a great word. If you want to confuse people, talk about theology. Nobody's quite sure what you're talking about. But all we're saying is theology is not simply about what we believe. Theology is about who we follow. Theology, it's about God. And it asks the question, who do you follow? You can make all sorts of statements of faith to say, I believe this and I believe that. Or perhaps you believe the other, so I'm not going to associate with you, and so on. And we can get into all sorts of puzzles that way. But theology, as I speak of it this morning, is about who do we follow. And action, that's about how we live, how we respond to the one we follow. We seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and figure out what it means to follow Jesus. And that works its way into our lives. So we ask the question, well, how then shall we live? What does it mean to be followers of Jesus? So identity, who are we? Theology, who is it that we follow? and action. How do we live? Now, we have at Evesham Baptist Church church values. The observant among us know that if you go to our website, you won't find there a statement of faith, a list of we believe this, we believe that, we believe the other. But what you will find is a series of what we call church values. And those church values, we have six church values. They are about our identity, they're about our theology, and they are about our action. Our church values are about our identity. Who are we? They're about our theology. Who do we follow? And they are about our action. How do we live? What do we do in response to following Jesus? And they're not clear. We don't have two applied to our identity, another two to theology, and another two to our action or anything like that. There's lots of overlap in these values, but you can see our six values there. Jesus, welcome, community, inclusive, involvement, and journey. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to be taking one of these each week. So if you plan your calendar really well, you can either be present or not, depending on which one I'm going to get to. But next week will be Jesus. The following week, welcome, and so on, through the series of our church values. And I'm simply going to unpack them just a little bit this morning so you can get a flavour of what our church values are about, what our identity is, what our theology is, what our action is that we intend. And we begin with this one, Jesus. It's at top of the list. It's the most important. It's about our theology. It's about who we follow. We are committed to Jesus and seek to be his disciples. That's our first one. We are committed to Jesus and seek to be his disciples. Now, I've said many times that I first gave my life to Jesus. I first committed myself to Jesus when I was 12. And yes, that was a very long time ago. And it feels like a very long time ago. But what I also know is that during my life, I have committed myself again. I've recommitted myself to Jesus many times. It's as if I have heard these words that we've got posted up here. Jesus said, "Come, follow me." I've heard those words many times in my life. A reminder to me that I am called in my life. Both my theology and my identity is bound up in this. Come, follow me. Seeking to be a disciple of Jesus. To be a disciple is to be a learner. It's to be a figurer outerer. How do you spell that? To be a figurer outerer. Somebody who says, "We're not sure just yet, but we're going to figure it out. We're going to work it out." The Apostle Peter, Simon Peter, when in our passage that we read, when Jesus challenges the 12 disciples, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" And Simon Peter answers, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." For many years, I've read that as Simon Peter, on behalf of the disciples, saying, "Jesus, we know that you have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe something of who you are. But who would we go to? We're not sure. We quite understand you, Jesus. You're beyond us, but if we went to anyone else, we'd be lost. So we'd rather stay with you and figure it out." And that's our first value that we'll be unpacking in more detail next week. What it means to be committed to Jesus, what it means to seek to be a disciple of Jesus. And that is a value that we share here. Our second value is welcome. We are committed to welcoming all and making a safe place. So everybody who comes through our doors, our goal, our aim, our value, our identity is bound up in this, that we seek to welcome everybody who comes in. But that, of course, spreads not just to this building. It spreads from here. It's a value we take on here to say we're a welcoming people, whoever comes in, whether we recognize them or not, whether we share values with them or not, we seek to welcome them. But that spreads out into our daily lives, to be welcoming people, to have open hearts, to have open homes, to say that people are welcome to come into, as it were, to come into our homes, to come into our presence, and they will find a safe place. And we believe as a church that to be welcoming is so important. You know, sometimes we say that first impressions matter. Is that, do you think that's true? I'm looking at you now. Yeah. Some of us, you know, first impressions do matter, I think. And welcome is such a powerful thing. To know I am welcome. For many people that I meet and many of us meet, they, because of experience in life, they can walk around feeling that they're not welcome because they don't look right, they don't act right, they don't believe the same as somebody else. And so they live with that sense of defensiveness. Maybe I'm not welcome. I have to be cautious here. And so it's doubly upon us to be a welcoming people. Jesus welcomed us. And we read the Gospels and meditate upon the Gospels and see the generous and open-hearted way in which Jesus welcomed. And so we seek to emulate it, that. We seek to do that for everyone who comes across our paths. We are committed to welcoming all and making a safe place. Our third value is community. First value is Jesus. We're committed to Jesus, seek to be his disciples. Our second value is about welcoming all and making a safe place. But we're welcoming people into what is this community. Not the community of Evesham, but this community of Evesham Baptist Church. And we're committed to making authentic relationships. That's how community works. It's not just individuals gathering together, but it's individuals gathering in relationship with one another and seeking to be authentic, seeking to be true. And that is a challenging path that we take. To say we're not simply going to be in relationship with one another, we're going to seek to have authentic, true, real relationships. And I'm aware, I know things about some of you that maybe nobody else knows or very few people know. And some of you know things about me that very few people know as well. And we live with that constant fear, perhaps. If everybody knew who I really was, they'd never talk to me again, or whatever. And that may be true, but that's where the challenge is. Jesus welcomes us as we are. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it's so important to understand when Jesus issues that invitation, he doesn't say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, lay down your doubts and your worries and your burdens and the questions you have at the door, and then come in and I'll give you rest. No, he says, come with all of your baggage. Come as you are, with your quirks, with all the strange things that have made you you. Come and we'll figure it out together. Let's seek to be honest and open with one another. Let's seek to bear with one another in love and kindness. And so, Jesus, we're committed to Jesus. We want to be his disciples and to follow him and learn from him. We seek to welcome everybody who comes across our paths, and we welcome people into this community. And I often say, you know, we welcome people into this community recognizing not just that we're not perfect, but we're all a little bit odd. We're all a little bit odd. And that's a challenge. But if we accept that, if we just say, look, I'm a little bit odd and you're a little bit odd, so let's find out about one another. When we look at the list of the 12 disciples who followed Jesus, what a bunch. When you realize who they were and what their politics were and what their dreams and aspirations were and their faults and failings. But Jesus draws them together. And even at the end, they all abandon him. And that might be true for us. But that's what we gather together, seeking to be real and true with one another. And then the next value, oh, there's more. Vulnerable, yet available. So my clicker is playing up to one another. The next value is inclusive. Inclusive. And this may be the slipperiest of all our values. Seeking to be inclusive. Because we acknowledge that everyone has an intrinsic value, created and loved by God. And what this means is simply that everyone we meet, everyone who comes into this community, or is on the fringes of this community, or is heading in our direction at all, but everyone has an intrinsic value. And we can so easily put labels on one another. And we can say, well, you are this or that or the other. You're a particular race or creed, or you hold particular values or lifestyle and so on. And we can so easily seek to separate ourselves out, and we get into cliques and groups divided from one another. But our desire in being inclusive is to say, whoever you are, whatever your lifestyle is, wherever you're from, whatever your beliefs are, as you join us, as you come into this community and we seek to journey together, we recognize you are created by God and you are loved by God with an everlasting love, and there is nothing you can do or be that ever will cause God to turn away from you. And we want to emulate that reality and that truth about God. Perhaps one of the best known of all the stories, the parables that Jesus told, is the story we know as the parable of the prodigal son. The young man who leaves home, abandons his father and elder brother and household, takes his share of the inheritance and goes off, we're told, to a foreign land and spends his inheritance. Gets to the point where his inheritance has all gone. He has nothing left. And he has to hire himself out in order that he has anything at all. And as he is clearing, I think it's the pig swill from the pigs that he's looking after, where he's hired himself out, he comes to his senses and he says, this is nuts. This is crazy. You know, even the servants in my father's house have a better lifestyle than this. They have nothing, but even they are better off than this. And so that young man, having left with everything, now having nothing, begins to hatch a plan. And he thinks, what I'll do is I'll go back home. I'll go back home to my father, to his household, and I realize I have given up the option of being a son in the household. But I will plead and beg with my father and say, well, can I be a servant? I'll do whatever. I'll be a servant because I know they have a better life than this. And so that son begins his journey back and he rehearses his speech. You can imagine it. He rehearses his speech as he makes that long journey home. But as Jesus tells this story, he says the father is watching out for his son. And he sees him while, the word says, while he is still afar off. And the father gets up from where he is seated and he runs down the road to his long-lost son and he throws his arms around him. And the son is ready with his speech. I'm not worthy to be your son. I'll just be a slave in your household. But his father will hear none of it. His father throws his arms around him and kisses him and says, you're my son. You were lost, but now are found. You were dead, but now you are alive. And there is no recrimination, no questioning. There is no asking, what have you done with the inheritance I gave you? You are my son. And he takes the family ring off his finger, off the father's finger. The father takes his own ring off and places it on his son and says, you belong. You belong to this family. And that is true for us in seeking to have a value like this, to be inclusive, to say whoever we are, whatever we are created and loved by God. And there is nothing we can do or be that will turn God away from us. I probably said too much on that, but we'll come back to that in the weeks to come. We commit ourselves to honour all who come across our paths. There we go. Our fifth value is involvement. According to gift and ability, all are encouraged to find their right seat. In freedom and joy, we can grow as we serve. As people come into this community, recognizing we're a community of very different people, very different backgrounds and educations and so on, all seeking to follow Jesus in some way. We welcome people into this community, recognizing one another's value. And we say to everyone, look, we believe that you are skilled, you have a gift, you have an ability, and you can be involved, and we want you to be involved. And we use this and can use this little phrase, this right seat. Now, there's a number of seats here, and I was just looking over at the piano, and, you know, would you like me to try out to see if that's my right seat? No, says my wife, you know. And I there's a seat, I could sit there, and I could insist, no, that's my seat. But we would find out very quickly, no, that's not my right seat. And sometimes finding our right seat takes time. Sometimes we live with an illusion of how we're gifted, how we're able. And we have to find our right seat where we can not only bless others, but we actually bless ourselves. You know that feeling of when you're doing the thing that gives you life? And you say, do you know, I enjoy doing this so much. It gives me so much pleasure, so much joy to do it. If there's one thing I could do, it's this. I'll serve the coffee. I'll bake the bread. I'll do this simple thing because I found this is where I can be me. And I'm accepted and I'm a blessing both to others and to me. And so involvement, we believe everyone who comes in has a right seat, has a place they can sit, something they can do, so that in freedom and joy they can grow and we can grow together as we serve. And then the final, the sixth, in some ways, one of the most important of our values is journey. Together we make a spiritual journey to discover Jesus and to make sense of him. None of us have all the answers. I know that will surprise you, you know, looking at me. None of us have all the answers. We may think we have, but we really haven't. I mentioned a few moments ago that I first committed myself to Jesus when I was 12 years old. And goodness knows how many times I've read the Bible, how many prayers I've prayed, how many books I've read. And there's a sense in which I would like to think maybe I do know it all now. But here's the truth. The more I know, the more I've realized how little I know. Yeah? The more I know, the more I realize how little I know. And that is true for us all. As we journey together, we say, none of us have got all the answers. None of us have arrived. It doesn't matter who we are. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 80 or 90 years. It really doesn't matter. Because we're all disciples. We're all learners. And we're seeking to figure it out. What does it mean for me to follow Jesus? What does it mean for us to follow Jesus, to discover more about Jesus? And so we journey together. And earlier on, Ruth came up and she made a journey from one side to the other. Was it 15 steps? 18 steps, you know, from there to there. And it was just an illustration, a simple thing of just journeying. It's not one step, it's many, many steps. And Jesus says, come, follow me. It's a journey. Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am, do you know what it says? The way. The way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. I am the path, the journey. And so it is, we encourage people to read the Bible and to discover Jesus, particularly to read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to discover more about Jesus and to take those steps on the journey of following after him. And so it is that we have here our church values. These speak to our identity about who we are. They speak to our theology, who we follow, and they speak about our action, how we seek to live and respond in our lives, whether here to others or out in the world, in our community. And the invitation at the beginning of this new year, 2024, is to be part of Evesham Baptist Church. Whatever our background is, whatever our journey has been thus far, continue the journey with us. And we'll make the journey together and we'll figure it out, hopefully, a little bit together. Let's pause there and let's pray together. At the beginning of this new year, Father, you are the one who make all things new. And we pray that for ourselves, for us as a church community, set in this wider, larger, diverse community of Evesham. Father, we know that winter time is a time when nature rests, when we don't see growth, but seeds are beginning just to emerge as the weather warms up and there's new life and new growth and new meaning and purpose. And Father, we pray that even though we may not see anything quickly, we trust that the seeds that you plant in our hearts today will grow and bear fruit. Help us, encourage us, and bless us. We pray in the name of Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.